Okay. In this vibe, we've been learning for the past few weeks, months already, years even maybe, the sugi of Kabbalah Yisurim Ba'ava. Kabbalah Yisurim Ba'ava. So it's not just theory. When there's an event like this happens, then we need to know how do we, who are learning about it and preparing for it, how do we deal with it? How do you deal with a situation like this? I'm sure we're not in the sefer. We're not in the book. We have to take the book and we have to practice what we've been learning. Now we have to practice what we're learning.
Yeah.
We're learning about Kabbalah Yisurim Ba'ava. How do you deal with what happened here? What's our Bale B'tochen that are learning B'tochen and Kabbalah Yisurim Ba'ava and understand the sugya? How do we deal with a matzav like this? You can close yourself. If you haven't learned it by now, then it might be too late. You may need it. Well, how long I'm going to speak for? We have to have a correct approach to understanding how to deal with what happened. So the first thing you have to know is you can't say anything. You have to keep quiet. The minute you start trying to say anything about what happened, you're going to make mistakes. Vayidoyim Aaron on the day, the 10 Ketorim Yored Loilom, on that holy, unbelievable Simcha Dika day, Vayidoyim Aaron, he had to face the death of his children. Vayidoyim Aaron. The question is, how do you do that? How do you Vayidoyim Aaron? How do you keep quiet? Maybe that we can talk about. What enables us to keep quiet? What enables us to be settled? And again, I'm going back to the fact that we have an obligation to do this because we've been putting a lot of time and energy into learning the sugya of Kabbalah Yisurim Ba'av. Not just theory, Kabbalah Yisurim Ba'av. And something big like this happens, you have to be ready for it. So there's not going to be a surprise for you guys. For other people who haven't been learning it, this may be a big surprise. For us, I don't think it's a surprise. If you've got questions, you can ask questions, okay? So Moshe Rabbeinu told Aaron, come in exact words of the pasuk, "V'zeh asher diber le'mor." So that's a lashon whatever that Moshe Rabbeinu told Aaron. What happened here wasn't pitom. What happened here doesn't just happen. The metuchnan. This was planned. This didn't just happen. This wasn't a random event. That your son made the wrong calculation, and then he went in, and boom, and then he got stuff from there. This whole event was metuchnan. There's a boss here who's metuchnaning and preparing and arranging the entire event. How could such a terrible thing happen on such a holy day, whatever? There's no way to understand. There's no answers to these questions. No way to answer these questions. When a person is faced with a kasha of Rabbi Kiva Eger, if you ever had the experience, you have a kasha from Rabbi Kiva Eger. And Rabbi Kiva Eger stays with the Tzarich Yun Godel, Vashem Yorei Naib, and Hashem should enlighten my eyes. Yeah, you've seen these Rabbi Kiva Egers, you often end with the Tzarich Yun, Vashem Yorei Seinai. Now you're going to try and answer that kasha. So there's two things you don't understand. You don't understand who you are, and you don't understand who Rabbi Kiva Eger is. Any answer you're going to give is wrong. You know why? Because Rabbi Kiva Eger didn't give it. All answers you're going to cook up, Rabbi Kiva Eger heard those and didn't like those. The way you deal with Rabbi Kiva Eger is you try and learn differently together. And then you avoid the question. These questions bolt on. If this is correct, then you have this hypothesis, then that leads to that, that leads to that, that leads to that, then boom, you're into the kasha. So you can go back and say, okay, we don't have to say like this, we can say like this. But to take the kasha the way it is, with all the premises in place and answer that, how are you going to do that? Rabbi Kiva Eger already told you, you're wrong. That's me and Rabbi Kiva Eger, me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't have answers. What are you going to do? You're going to try and answer this? But we know Zemetuchnan. Why should it be that such a thing should happen on like Boimet Dafka, whatever, and how and why, Dafka him and not him? You see people, two people in the same matzah next to each other, and the one got up and walked away, and the other one landed in hospital, and the other one passed away. You don't explain that. You can't explain anything. You can't explain. Vayidoyim, you have to keep quiet. You have to keep quiet. But how do you keep quiet? Because you know that everything was planned. This was in the making for at least 100 years. Every person that was there had to be born in a certain time, in a certain place, had to all be brought to this particular place, this particular square inch in the universe, the big universe. And then all these people from all different places in the world, different backgrounds, different countries, all had to be in that particular place at that particular time. Which bus they were going to take that would get them there, what time they would have to leave, where would they would get, and not just them, what about all the people who were trying to get hold of the kids on the phone? That son, that Agmas Nefesh that everybody went through, not till they identified, that was all the Tuchna, that all has to be planned. That all has to be put into place. Years and years and years ago, this was put together, this is planned. It didn't just happen, not pitom. Pitom. They will make a board of inquiry and they'll have the chakirot and they'll have a whole discussion and they'll find out that it was because it was tzafut here and because they should have opened the gate and they didn't open the gate and they did. And of course, we have to do that. I'm not saying we don't have to do that. We have to know what went wrong so that next year we can avoid those things. But in the world of ishtaris, we have to do what we have to do. I'm not talking about that. But what happened because they're metuchnan. That's what Akash Baruch Hu did. That's what we've been learning now for the last few years, no? When the guy falls off the roof, remember? When the falling one will fall, it means because that was going to happen already. Nothing to do with you building a mica or not building a mica. When that baby we learned about last week, Rahmanistan, fell in the pool, it's not because the parents left the gate open. You'll have the police will come, they'll do a board inquiry, and they'll tell you the child died because the parents left the gate open. But we know it's a lot of fun. Not true. The shek gomo. The parents have to do tshuva for leaving the gate open. That's for sure. The Torah says you're not allowed to leave the gate open. The Torah says you have to build a maika. That we don't. We know that. And all this happened because this was metuchanan. This was planned and organized in intricate detail. Every molecule of suffering that happened and how it happened and who heard about it. When they heard about it, I heard about it at 2 o'clock in the morning. And why did I have to hear about it dafka then? Everybody heard about it. When they heard about it, there was all metuchanan. Nothing was left. Hashem didn't leave one stone on.
How much rich people know why he was rich? Not because he makes this business. He makes this business because he has to come.
Everything. That's how you vidoy. To vidoy, I just keep quiet because I know what I'm talking about. Whatever. How are you going to process it? How are you going to build that construct emotionally and deal with it? You can't. Therefore, you have to know how you vidoy. You vidoy because a Kodesh Baruch Hu, because Moshe Rabbeinu explains to Aaron, this thing is planned. Those boys were going to die. What happened exactly happened was going to happen. They're all planned and put into place exactly what Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted, when he wanted it, how he wanted it. Why? We don't know. Just to put it into something that you can walk away with, that you put in your hand and carry away with. You know Rabbi Yitzchak Obermeister Zatzal? Obermeister. He started Tifrach Yeshiva then, back then, with Rabbi Yanke Friedman. Anyway, Rabbi Yitzchak, fascinating guy. American Talmud of Rabbi. He once worked for Avram. When we moved to Beit Shemesh, he kind of stopped coming. But in Yerushalayim, he used to be like the Nath HaMashgiach. He had a big ashpo on the yeshiva, So he once told us, when something happens in the world, there's two questions. Lama zekara, ve'ech zekara. Why did something happen, and how did it happen? Why it happened is because of course, Bocha wanted it to happen. How did it happen? He tripped on a stone and he fell and he bumped his head and they rushed him to hospital. It was too late. Why did he die? Because he tripped on a stone? No. He died because it was written on Rosh Hashanah. How he died? He tripped on a stone. He didn't put in a sweat. He got cold. He got pneumonia. The world mixes up why and how. Never mix up those two. Why something happens and how something happens. And he brought a ride from the Pasuk. Why did Aaron Rishon die? The Pasuk tells us. You know the pasuk. Why did Adam Rishon die? So it says, and Adam Rishon lived 930 years and he died. It's a funny way to say it, no? You just said Adam Rishon died after he lived a life of 930 years. Why did it say he lived 930 years and he died? It's coming to us why he died. He died because he lived 930 years. He didn't have any more years left. He was supposed to live 1,000 years. 70 he gave to David HaMelech. So he lived 950 years, and it was it. That's why he died. How did he die? I don't know. He fell off a tree. I don't know what happened. I don't know how he died. It was placed, whatever. He got hit by a bus. Right? I don't know how he died. How he died is irrelevant. Why did he die? Because that was what a Kosh Baruch Hu Matuchna, that was written in his CV, that was written in, that was wired into the system, that after 930 he would die. Some people die because they don't have any words left. When a person comes into this world, he gets allocated a certain amount of words. Somebody dies, pitom. Why did he die? No, the doctors can't tell you. Why did he die? How he died, they'll tell you. He had an aneurysm or a mishkavus or whatever. Because that's why they died. I just brought the one Rishon from Adam Rishon, but all of them say that. They lived so many years and they died. That means they died because they ran out of years. That was the cause of death. Now, what did the doctor, the forensic lab, write as the cause of death? He had a heart attack. That's how it happened. The world's always trying to get you to mix up how and why. When you look at this event that we're dealing with now, don't mix up the how and the why. Don't mix up the how and the why. What happened? Because that was Matuchna and Kosh Baruch Hu b'chishboinus that we have no idea. We can't even begin to understand them. That's what happened. How it happened is, yeah, let them fight and argue and have discussions and board of inquiries about how it happened. That's not our perspective. We that understand the sugya and have been learning the sugya understand. So there's law no se. That's not the subject.
In some case, if we put ourselves in danger, we can die even if it's not.
That's another sugya. Yeah. That's for sure. There are many pratim to the sugya of all the yidoyim. I'm saying the minute you start trying to understand this event, you're going to make mistakes. Therefore, you need vayidoyim. You need to keep quiet. You can't speak about it. But how do you keep quiet? Not just how do you keep your mouth shut? How do you keep yourself quiet inside? By understanding that this was metuchnan. This didn't just happen. It'll be top. I know there was a maisa. A few years ago, there was a maisa. Family hadn't had children for a long time. And I don't know who it was. Somebody told them, build a mikveh. You build a mikveh, it's a school to have children. So they built the mikveh and they had a child. And 3 years later, the child drowned in a mikveh. And it was the mikveh they built for another mikveh. You look at that event. You look at that, I don't know, someone left the door open to the mikveh, whatever, and the kid went to the mikveh, and the kid drowned. Now, you have any kashas on that event? You have any serious kashas on that event when you see that happening? No, they're big kashas from Chazals, from Rishonim, they're big kashas on this event. Yeah? The Maram Rottenberg. Maram Rottenberg. The great Rishon, Maram Rottenberg. He's our goals, we're sorry, whatever. He was captured by the Goyim and he died in a big tower. Maybe he was in prison in Amigdal. The Maram Rottenberg, you know what I'm talking about? You ever heard of him? Rottenberg, yeah. He wouldn't let them redeem them. Yeah. They wanted an enormous amount of money to redeem, and he wouldn't let them redeem him for money because he said it'll never end. And therefore, Yeah. Maram Rottenberg, he's in the Gemaras, in the goals of the Gemaras. I'm sorry. He came to the father in a dream. And he said, the only thing I was missing in my shlemus was I wasn't buried Batara. The Goyim wouldn't let them bury him. He was in the Migdal there, and the Goyim wouldn't let them have a Jewish burial. Eventually, one of the Greer, whatever, paid an enormous amount of money to get the body, and they had to take him and bury him quickly. There wasn't time to do a Tara. It's the only thing missing from me is Tara. I didn't have a proper Tara. I didn't have a proper Tefillah before Purim. There was a big tumult in Shemayim, what to do. So in Shemayim, they decided I could come back into the world just long enough to have a Tara. But there's a question of which family is going to be able to handle the neshama, like the Maram Rottenberg's neshama, who's zeichet to bring a child like that into the world. And they waited and waited thousands of years, 1,000 years almost. And so they found this family. And this child was born to this family. And he came into the world and he died in the mikveh. So you look at the event, huh? You have a look at this event, you think yourself, you've got 50 kashas, how could they be? Ba, 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 ba. And then when you see behind the scenes and you understand the tikhnun, say, man, who's beside it? Now suddenly, what are you doing? You can keep quiet, you calm, yeah, no problems anymore. No problems anymore. All beside it. It was a story, I was there, I was in the Shiva house the day after he was killed. It was Ben Siduna. You must remember Ben Siduna? Yeah. Benzi Duna was a big philanthropist. His brother started the yeshiva with me way back when. And on Purim, he used to have open house on Purim. He used to write checks. You must have heard of them. I mean, they're the fame of the Dunas. Abba Duna's son. So he had written $1 million worth of stock of checks on Purim. Motze Purim, or the Motze Shabbos after Purim, he was killed in a car crash. Where was the stocker Matzil Mimaves? You got some real kashas now. Now you got some uncomfortable kashas you have to ask. The local kashas. Rav Chaim Kanievsky said he was supposed to die 15 years ago. It was another incident. I don't remember the details, but 15 years ago there was some incident and whatever, and he survived. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him an extra 15 years in the schus of his stocker. We look at the end of the story because we don't understand anything, we know nothing, and we say, wow, could it be? It's all about that. He was given an extra 15 years. Him. No, Reb Chaim said about him, Benzi Duna. When they asked him, Soka Matzil Mimaves, that's a hard question to ask in a matzav like this. Reb Chaim said he was supposed to die 15 years ago. Remember when that thing happened 15 years ago? That's when he was supposed to die. Hashem gave him another 15 years because we look at the world, we don't understand anything. We see only bad. We don't see all the, and sometimes you don't see the answers. Yeah, you got an answer. The baby that drowned in the mikveh, you got an answer. But sometimes you don't get an answer. You don't get an answer. Those seven kids that were shot there in Mekaz HaRavah many years ago, whatever, while they were learning Torah, what happens to Torah, Mogin or Matzil? You have an answer to that question yet? That's a hard question. I'm still walking around with that kasha. They were sitting learning Torah, and an Arab came to the basement and shot them. Rahman al-Itzlan, what happened to Torah, Mogin or Matzil? Well, you got a big hole in your Torah, Magen, or Matzil right now. Well, it's a kasha. So we live with a kasha. You have the kasha, but said, how do you deal with the kasha? By Yidoyim. How you Vidoyim? Because you understand, it's a Koma Tuchnan. A Koma Tuchnan. That's what a Kodesh Baruch Hu. We know. That's a Kodesh Baruch Hu who's running the world. Not just to happen. He told some Arab got a chicken cop and he went and he got angry and he started shooting and randomly killed a few people. That's how we understand reality. Everything's planned, everything's worked out, everything's understood. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu told Aaron. And that's what enabled Aaron to keep quiet and to be settled within himself. This wasn't pitom, fire came out of the Shemaim and boom, killed his son on such a wonderful, sympathetic, holy day. Now you have to find a space in yourself to mourn, a space in yourself to be shattered by what happened. And take away something from it at the same time to understand she's in your Kodesh Baruch Hu. This was already planned, Misheshes Yemei Breishis, like we learned. Ki Yipul HaNoifel. It doesn't just happen, it's not random. That's just perhaps my takeaway. No one has to listen to what I'm saying. That's my takeaway when this happened. I was thinking, okay, we're learning Pirkei Machshava, we're learning Inmun Betochen, we're learning Kabbalah Yisurim Ba'avah. The Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us a test. He put the mamash, put the sugya on the table. Here it is, fat square. Here it is in front of us now. How do we deal with it? So I dredged out the principles. Somebody mentioned this to me with Aaron, because I said, as it happened, I said to my daughter, Vayidayim Aaron, don't start talking. Because the things that go through your head are generally apikosis and terrible things are going through your head when you see things like this. Anybody's ever been to Meron and Lag Boim, the first thing that goes to your head is this thing's been in the making for a long time. It's a miracle that hasn't happened before. My first and only trip to Meron and Lag Boim, it was like, we couldn't read. My son came to us for Lag Boim, he was telling us before the event. Not the way we went to Madura, my kid came, he's now 27, whatever. I took him to Meron many, many years ago. As a kid, he must have been 9, 10. He says he still remembers with terror the feeling of not being able to breathe from the crowd. So I'm saying that every year it never happened was a miracle. So that's the first thing you start thinking. Yeah, well, it was going to happen. And why didn't they take care of it? And what are they doing in the first place? And people draw that nourish part out of your head. Draw that shtus out of your head. That's not the subject. That may be the subject. We have to do what we have to do. We have to learn and make sure we don't make mistakes. For sure. Like you said, sakanas and all these things, 100%. Well, that's not the nosse. Vayidoyim. Person has to keep quiet. The minute you start thinking, this happened, why it happened? Because it happened because of this and because of he, and he deserved it. Why was he doing it? How do you vayidoyim? That's what Moshe told Aaron. This was planned already. Once you know it's planned, once you know it's not just a happenstance, random event, It's much easier to be very doing, much easier to keep quiet and mourn the way we're supposed to mourn.
We have also to think, perhaps not to speak, but to think.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
You can only think when you're vidoim, when you're vidoim, generally vidoim, not just vidoim means keep quiet. Inside, you're also quiet. Inside, there's also space where you can think about, I know about this, I heard about this, it's got something to do with me as well. It's got sure life. So I have to also do a little bit of analyzing and see where this has to, where this touches me. You have to have a karas hatov, you have to be grateful, you have to say thank you. My daughter was on her way to Meron on the thing. At the last minute, whatever, I don't know, a friend went in there and she didn't go. My son, his friend was Meshachnem, come, let's go. They're a chassid, off the chassid, let's go. My son hates crowds, he doesn't like being around people. He's like me. He's a hermit like his father. So he doesn't like crowds, whatever. He said, there's no ways I'm going there. You want to go? Well, I need law lech l'sham. So his friend said, if you're not going, I'm not going. He said, fine. So they came home. That was a shame. So Zenogabi, this touches me. This touches all of us. There's no way you can avoid such a thing. So you're out. You have to stop it. But you can't think when you've got all this bilbul in your head. First thing is clear the forest. Hashem did this for a reason. Oh, but you do it. Now I can be settled and quiet inside. Now I can mourn. I have a little peckle for mourning. I've peckled to see what that has to do with me. Where's the tshuva? Answer the ask the difficult questions I need to ask. There's room to approach the problem.
How can you know it has to do with you if you don't know why it happened? You don't know why this 13-year-old, why Hashem decides this 13-year-old now, his years are over.
So 100%. The same as you can't answer.
Oh, but it has to do with you. Where do I need to do tshuva?
You have to be quiet. You have to make sure that the screen is blank. Yeah. And then wait to see what pops up. Wait to see what pops up. You will never know for sure, and you'll never be able to say, now I know. This is because of this. You'll never know that. Maybe you will, but I'm saying that's not what we're searching for. Each person knows areas in his life that need work. And sometimes we neglect the work because whatever, because that's who we are. We're all the same. I know I need to work on this area, but it's hard. It's difficult. I put a bit of effort. I worked. I failed. Didn't go so well. And I'm dealing with it in a riff-raff kind of a way. Now, a person knows, okay, this is a his damnut. I'm going to take this as a message. I need to mechazak this thing. I need to go back and work on that thing. If that's the thing that caused that, that's trying to answer Bikivagas Pasha. I can't do that. But I know enough about myself to know that there's certain things in my life that need a chizuk. Lots of things. So I'm going to find something and then I'm going to use this as an impetus to maybe improve that and use this as the chizuk to keep it going. That's what I'm talking about. This week's Pasha. For me, I took it from this week's parsha. This is a chumash. Gracious, it's also chashuv to say it. No, we don't need a chumash. It's fine. It's fine. It says b'chokrei seteleichu mitzvosai tishmaru. It says in the parsha. We all know the parsha. B'chokrei sai. Im b'chokrei seteleichu v'tzmitzvosai tishmaru v'asisa moisa. First pasuk. So Rashi already picks up. It says, "In b'chokai satalecha." Rashi says, "You might have thought that's about the kiyum mitzvahs. If you walk in my statues, that means keeping mitzvahs." But then it says, "Ve'et mitzvos tishmoru." So in b'chokai satalecha can't be telling you if you keep the mitzvahs, because it says beforeish. The next word is "Ve'et mitzvos tishmoru." Yeah, everyone knows this. Yeah. So what's "In b'chokai satalecha"? "In b'chokai satalecha" is coming to tell you. You should be a mailing b'toira. Huh? So it tells you must be amal b'toira, and you must keep on mitzvahs. That's what the boss is coming to tell. Fine. So we can leave it like that. It's an important thing. You have to be amal b'toira. Everybody knows it. Nobody is important. The problem is, have you read Vayitah in the Pasha? This is the Pasha with all the opposite of the brachos. It's not a nice Pasha, this. This touch, they don't even call up the guy for the Aliyah, you know, this sort of like the Balkaira Nebuch gets to go or whatever. But as the Balkaira used to get, they used to call up people for the Aliyah. This wasn't a busha. Call up, it's Torah. It's also Torah. Anyway, whatever, the minag, different minagim, how you deal with it. So I heard from a Rebbe, who was starting Gesundzein, people think this is an Oynish. If you're not Amal B'Torah and you don't keep the mitzvahs, then Hashem's going to punish you with all these klalas. And if you're a good boy and you do what you're supposed to do, you'll get all the brochas. That's a reward. He said, it's not true. It's not true. It's not an oinish or a reward. It's a mitzias. Huh? It's a mitzias. If you pour oil into the rivers get polluted. The rivers don't get polluted as a punishment. That's natural law. If you take sodium and chloride, you mix them together, get salt. Not a punishment or reward. Because they're mitzias. That's natural law. The Midrash says if the goyim understood this parsha, they would appoint, what does it say? I think 13 policemen over every Jew with sticks to beat him. It says I'll appoint 2 policemen over every Jew to beat him to learn. Because I understand that everything that's happening in the world that's not happening properly is because of chosov in b'chusay. So now what does a mele b'tayr? What does a mole b'tayr mean? It means I blonde in when I want, I go when I want, I leave when I want. But Rabbi, I can only learn 3 hours a day. Fine. So those 3 hours are called the mole b'tayr. It's not a social club. It's not something I do because it's, the kef, I like it. It's enjoyable. No, it's a toil. It has to be hard. It's a work. You don't get shut set away. So you go back again and back again and back again. And you work and you think and you struggle and you sweat. 12:30, you have to go work. Masada, okay, so you close your Gemara. You go work. You come back tomorrow. But it's a mola. It's not something that, it doesn't say learn Torah. It doesn't say shetil moi Torah. It has to be on a mola. It has to be something that I understand. I'm digging for gold. I'm digging for diamonds. I don't just scratch around and say, I didn't find anything. I'm going home. So Rav Chaim Kanievsky brings down in the Ochos Yosha. A lot of people don't enjoy learning. It's not geschmack. It's very nice, especially when you're younger. It's very difficult to learn. How do you get a taste? How do you get an enjoyment in learning? He says, you have to learn. Rav Noson Tzvi said, it says, Ma'o afti sara secha, kol ha'yom isi chosi. How I love your Torah. Every day, that's all I talk about. He said, people think that because I love your Torah, I speak about it a lot. He said, that's not true. It's because you speak about it a lot, you come to love it. You know, because you love Torah, so that's all you do. That's later. But first, it has to start with I talk a lot in Torah, even though I don't love it, even though I don't enjoy it, even though it's really hard. And then you come to love it. Then you start tasting the dvash. It was the Gera Rebbe. One of the previous Gera Rebbe's son said to him, Abba, what should I do if I don't have cheshek to learn? He said, you learn without cheshek. What do you mean, what did you do? A mola, you have to be toil, you have to toil. A mola means toil. For me, that was, I'm not telling anyone to do, I don't know how I'm going to deal with this. I don't know, I'm just saying, for me, that was I just saw the connection. This is the parsha. It hit me on at Mincha when we start, you know, Bahaba Chukaisa. My Rebbe gave a shir on this many years ago, gave a musavad on this. A mola doesn't mean the shnayim vikra v'targum. They're not kra mola. Well, it doesn't mean I read a little bit of daf yoimi, I sit in a daf yoimi shir and I fall asleep. They're learning kra mola. That's choshuv. That's learning Torah and you're getting scha. I'm not saying not. I was there law a mola b'Torah. And the lack of a mola b'Torah brings all the tzoros, all the problems, all the whole Holocaust. The ganze, what they call the Holocaust, is all here in the Pasuk. And the brochas and the if you are mala b'Torah, it's also all you are possible. And it's not a punishment. That's just the matzias of the world. Make a hole in the ozone layer, you get global warming. No one's being punished here. It's just that's matzias. Yeah, you know, you're going to the sun too long, you get burnt. It's not punishment. It's a matziut. So okay, just some ideas from mitoich the learning. I'm not saying anything here that we haven't learned. I didn't say any chidushim here. We have pages and pages. You have Kabbalah Yisurim Ba'ava, Kabbalah Yisurim Ba'ava, the Tochen in Hashem, Hakolot Tova, Hashem Ani does good, everything's planned. Hashem's taking us to Gan Eden. How's he getting us? That's all we've been learning for the last few months, years together. Really, huh? So when an event like this happens, we're prepared for it. We used to have the Kalim to at least know how to approach it. And all the people that don't come, they don't know how to deal with it.